Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on Jesus Christ's evaluation of the church at Ephesus. Please turn over to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll read verse 2, where it talks about one of the positive qualities of the church at Ephesus. This is one of the things that Jesus was very, very pleased with. And it says here in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tried those pretending to be apostles, and you have found them to be liars. Well, in our last program, we covered three words in this scripture, where it says, I know your works, we covered that. I know your labor, we covered that one. And I know your patience, we covered that one. Now, today I want to focus on the fact that Jesus says, I know how you cannot bear those who are evil. What is this saying to us? What lesson should you and I be learning from what the church at Ephesus did, where Jesus says, I know that you cannot bear those who are evil? The word bear, that has the connotation of putting up with something. In other words, I know that you cannot put up with those who are evil. You get frustrated with those who are evil, and in fact you want to put them away from you. And that's a good thing. That's what Jesus commands us to do. You know, unfortunately, in some of the churches today, there's so much talk about, oh, we need to treat people with love, and we need to treat them with kindness, and we need to really demonstrate the power of love, the power of God's love in their lives. Well, yeah, that's true, but have you ever heard of tough love? Sometimes people need a quick and swift kick in the butt. Sometimes people need to be corrected, and Jesus Christ will correct us when it is right, and he's going to do it out of love. It's not because he hates us. He wants us to learn that what we're doing is going to hurt us more than his swift kick in the butt. And so we need to straighten up and fly right. And that's what he was telling the church. I commend you for not putting up with all kind of nonsense, for showing tough love, for kicking people out of the church. That's right. People should be disfellowshipped from the church when a problem gets so bad that the person is not repenting of it and it has the danger of spreading to other people because it's not dealt with firmly. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. You know how it says one rotten apple can spoil the whole crate, the whole barrel? Well, you need to get rid of that one rotten apple before it poisons all of the other apples. Get rid of this one person who claims to be a Christian and who might actually be a Christian, but who needs to be put out of the midst of the congregation so that this person does not infect the rest of the congregation with his or her sin. Now, we're going to see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 13. It says, it is actually reported that sexual immorality exists among you, and of a kind that is not even found among the Gentiles. In other words, you guys claim to be Christians, and you're putting up with things that even non-Christians don't get involved in. He goes on to describe what it was. A man is actually living with his father's wife. How hideous is that? That's perverted. That's sick. And you are being arrogant instead of filled with grief, seeing to it that the man who did this is removed from among you. In other words, you should not bear those that are evil. Don't put up with this nonsense. Put away this nonsense. Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. See, it's out of love. You're not saying, man, I'm condemning you to hellfire. No, you're not doing that. But you are saying, I'm kicking you out of the church, out of our congregation, out of our fellowship, however you want to say it, disfellowshipping the person, putting a mark on that person, however you want to say it, we're taking strong disciplinary action for your own good, so that your spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. And then Paul says to the congregation, your boasting is not good. They were thinking that they were so loving. They were boasting because, wow, we have so much love. Look at how much compassion we have. You know, hey, this person, that's a disease that they have. You know, nowadays, so many sins are called disease. People say that obesity is a disease. Obesity is a sin in a lot of cases. People are just gluttonous, and that's why they're fat, because they cannot control themselves. They're lusting after the food. They're greedy. And I'm not picking on fat people, but I'm just saying that some fat people are fat because they're greedy. That is the sin of gluttony. That's not a disease. People say that some of the mental problems that people have, if it's alcoholism or drug abuse or some other kind of mental problem, it's a disease. No, that's not a disease. That's a sin. People are just so weak-minded that they can't resist taking these drugs. They can't resist taking a drink of alcohol. That's not a disease. Now, yeah, it can end up in a disease like cirrhosis of the liver. If your person is taking all kinds of drugs, they could have a heart attack, a stroke, or something like that. But in many cases, it's just a weak-willed person that has fallen into a drug addiction or alcoholism. And yes, they need treatment, but it's not like they need some kind of medication. They need their minds transformed so that they think like Jesus Christ thinks. So that's the type of tough love that we have to have. All right, and he says, your boasting is not good. You know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. Don't you know that? So get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new batch of dough, since you are to be free from yeast. For Christ is our Passover lamb, and he has been sacrificed for us. So let us keep celebrating the festival of unleavened bread, not with the old yeast or with the yeast of vice and wickedness, but keep the feast of unleavened bread with the bread of purity and truth, which has no yeast. I wrote to you in my letter to stop associating with people who are sexually immoral. And I'm not talking about the people of the world, the people outside the church who are immoral. I'm not talking about people who are greedy. I'm not talking about the robbers, the idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. I'm not talking about the people who are in the world. I'm talking about the people who are in the church. That's what I'm writing about, that you should stop associating with any so-called brother if he is sexually immoral. That means practicing sexual immorality. It doesn't mean that if a person slips up and commits fornication just this one time out of a time of weakness that you kick the person out. No, it means if they're practicing sexual immorality, if this person is greedy, if they're a gluttonous type of person, an alcoholic that refuses treatment, a drug addict that refuses treatment, if this person is an idolater, if this person is a slanderer, or if this person is a thief, with such a person that's in the church, you must stop eating with that person. Stop fellowshipping with that person. Put that person away from you. Don't bear them. And that's the commendation that Jesus was giving to the church of Ephesus, is that they could not bear, they could not put up with those who were evil. In verse 12 now, of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, and after all, is it my business to judge outsiders? No, but you are to judge those who are inside, aren't you? Yes, God will judge outsiders, but I'm telling you, when it comes to those that are inside, put that wicked man away from you. That's tough love. Now we can see again another example in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 20. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 20. It says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives me strength, that he has considered me faithful and has appointed me to his service. In the past, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was a violent person. This is Paul speaking. Paul persecuted people in the church. He actually led them to their death. But Paul says, I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in my unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed toward me along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So after I repented, and that was by the grace of God that he gave me repentance, I became a totally different person. Now in verse 15 it says, this saying is trustworthy and deserves complete acceptance. To this world Christ Jesus came, and he came to this world to reclaim sinful people, of which I am the worst. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate all of his patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, to the King Eternal, the immortal, invisible, and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Timothy, my child, I am giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies made earlier about you, so that by following them, you may continue to fight the good fight of faith, and fight it with faith and with a good conscience, because I'm telling you that there's a danger. Some people, by ignoring their consciences, have destroyed their faith like a wrecked ship. These include Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so Paul again is giving this example, saying, wait a minute now, it's not like I'm high and mighty. I was a really evil beast. God showed mercy to me. He forgave me of that. So God can show mercy and forgive other people, but I'm telling you, if these people, like Hymenaeus and Alexander, if their consciences are ignored, if they refuse to repent like I did, I repented, right? I didn't refuse to repent, I repented. But if they refuse to repent, if they ignore their consciences, then these people become like a wrecked ship. There's no hope for them, except the only hope is that they are turned over to Satan the devil. In other words, they're put out of the church, just like he was talking about the sexually immoral person. You put them out of the church, so this person becomes totally ashamed of what they did, and then, by chance, they will learn not to blaspheme. They won't be saying that they are a Christian while they're acting totally contrary to the way Christ acted. That's blasphemy, claiming that you're a Christian, claiming that you have the Holy Spirit of God, and you're acting in an immoral manner. And Paul's instruction to Timothy is, listen, you have to carry on fighting this good fight of faith once I'm gone, and there's going to be people creeping into the church who will destroy the faith of others, who will do damage, and you have to deal with them strongly. Please hand them over to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul wanted Timothy to learn the lesson that sometimes there has to be tough love. And that's the same message that the church at Ephesus learned. And God praised them for it when he said, I know that you cannot bear those that are evil. You do not put up with that. You put people out. You practice tough love. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me on this program. I know some of the things I said might have been tough, but they needed to be said because I love you. As an expression of my love, we have developed a website where you can read all sorts of good literature absolutely for free. So please log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org.